Greetings, people loved by God. Welcome to worship on this, the fourth weekend in the season of Lent. For our friends worshiping online, a reminder as usual, you can go to our website. That website is chapelofthecross.org, and there you can find under the resources tab the downloadable bulletin that you could follow along the service with. You can also give your offering to the Lord on the give tab on the homepage there if you would like, or you could just send your offering in to the church office. Just a few things for all of us to know before we begin worship today. As we've been announcing, we will soon be taking pictures for our new pictorial directory. Photos will be taken April 13th through the 17th, so if you can put that on your calendar, that would be good. You can sign up for photos at the Welcome Center today after church. You may also sign up online. The website and the password information is in your chapel weekly today. For those who are getting their picture taken, you'll receive a free directory. You'll get a free 8x10 of you or your family, and there's no sitting fees, and of course, COVID safety measures will all be followed for safety. Chapel's Fine Arts Committee is putting together Easter bags for children, and we're asking for donations of candy, if you can help with that. If you can't help, we would ask you to do so. There's a sign-up at the Welcome Center. Please note, though, we cannot use candy with peanut butter or coconut because of allergy issues, or unwrapped candy, or suckers. I don't think those fit inside the eggs. If you can give candy that are not in those categories, that'd be wonderful. More information about that is in your chapel weekly. Finally, the Board of Elders would like to thank everybody for filling out the survey regarding the COVID precautions here at Chapel of the Cross. We're very appreciative of your feedback and for sharing your opinions. At the most recent meeting we had, the elders have approved an extra service for Easter Sunday. That service will be at 6:30 a.m., so kind of a sunrise service. That'll be in addition to our regular Sunday schedule. So the weekend worship will have 5 p.m. on Saturday, Easter Saturday, and then Easter Sunday, 6:30, 8:30, and 11 a.m. We will also begin to have some outdoor worship services, again, as the weather permits, as temperature permits. It's a little chilly yet on Sunday mornings, but as it gets a little warmer, we'll start having some outdoor services. And we're adding congregational singing on a second hymn during the weekend worship services, so that you'll notice that tonight. We'll sing together a hymn of response immediately following the sermon. You'll see that in the worship today. And you'll no longer need to make reservations for worship. We do ask you that you continue to sign in when you come, that we know you've been in attendance, but if you've been calling in to make reservations, you don't have to do that anymore. We've been okay with capacity restrictions with that. Again, thank you very much for your feedback that you shared with our elders over the last few weeks. God's blessings to you as we worship today. We begin by listening to that opening hymn, God Loved the World So That He Gave. For those using their hymnal at home, that's hymn number 571 in Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal God, you so loved the world that you gave your only Son into death for our sin. Take our lives, Lord, and use them to lift up your Son so that all will be drawn to him and find eternal life. For he lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading appointed for this day is from Numbers, the 21st chapter. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading is from Ephesians, the second chapter. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Together we speak our common faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God had sent not one, but 10 miraculous plagues. He brought Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, to his knees. In all those plagues, God protected the Israelites. Then he brought them up out of Egypt, out of slavery, led them safely across the Red Sea on dry ground, and destroyed their enemies who were chasing them. God brought them to the holy mountain, to Mount Sinai, and he gave them his law, gave them a system of sacrifice for them to deal with their sins. He miraculously brought forth water from a rock, so the whole community and all their livestock could drink. And he was bringing them to the promised land, that land flowing with milk and honey. But none of that mattered, because they didn't like the food. They didn't like the food that God himself provided for them, each and every day, without fail. The food was literally sent from heaven to sustain them there in the wilderness. That food, they did not work for that food. They just went out and they picked it up free of charge. And that food, that heavenly food, that wasn't good enough. So they grumbled and they mumbled and they spoke against Moses and they spoke against God. So God sent the snakes. And people got bit and died. And they thought they had suffering before. It was a not so gentle reminder of their sin that gave them just a little bit of perspective. And they repented. They confessed their sin. And they asked for forgiveness. And God provides. He instructs Moses to make a bronze serpent and put it up on a pole, and anybody who is bitten has only to look and to live. God's forgiveness is immediate, and it's free, and it's as easy as looking in faith, where he promises to give that forgiveness. By grace, they were saved. And then we hear the words of Jesus from John 3. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Oh, what a beautiful passage of Scripture. What incredible, wonderful, grace-filled words. For we who complain and who grumble and who mumble and who sin and feel so sharply the consequences of our own sinful behavior, our Savior comes to us and he says, hey, remember God's response to sin back in Numbers 21? The love and the grace and the second chance he provides? That's just a little picture of the Son of God who is lifted up on the cross of Calvary. That is just a little foreshadowing of the grace that he gives when we look on the cross of Jesus Christ and believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That single verse is just a beautiful summary of the gospel. Gospel in a nutshell, we sometimes call it. That's the story of God's seeking, God's redeeming, God's reconciling love. And it's all in one little sentence. It is the essence of the Christian faith. It is the essence of the good news. And it is God's greatest promise. That verse reminds us that we are loved. That God himself is the one who loves us. That God seeks us out. That God values us. That God graciously reaches out to save us. And that God gives us eternal life through the work of his Son. As we will relive once again in just a couple of weeks, we see John 3:16 being acted out during Holy Week. On Palm Sunday, Jesus rides triumphantly into Jerusalem and is received as a king with palm branches laid out before him and shouts of, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But he comes to establish a surprising kind of kingdom, one that's a lot different than the world had ever seen before, because it's one that's not built on power or might or violence, but a kingdom built on faith and hope. And love. Throughout the days of Holy Week, Jesus teaches the people, and he heals the sick, and he helps the needy, and he cleanses the temple, and he withstands the schemes of the religious leaders. On Thursday night, he takes the disciples through the Passover meal, the Last Supper. He institutes Holy Communion. And then he goes with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And there Jesus is betrayed by one of his closest friends. He's arrested on trumped-up charges, and he's rushed through a hurried fixed trial that takes place illegally in the middle of the night. And he's sentenced to death by crucifixion by a waffling Pontius Pilate. And then on Good Friday, in the greatest act of sacrificial love this world has ever known, he goes to that cross and he dies for you and for me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It is one of the greatest statements ever spoken. It describes, it defines, it outlines the fullness of God's great love for us. As the hymn writer says, oh love, how deep, how broad, how high, beyond all thought and fantasy, that God, the Son of God, should take our mortal form for mortals' sake. For God so loved the world. Not just one nation, not just one culture, not just one denomination, not just the attractive people, the educated people, the black people, the white people, not just one little corner of creation, but the whole world
The reach of God's love is as wide as the universe. Oh, love, how deep, how broad, how high. God so loved the world. I mean, think about that. Even that guy at work you cannot stand, who just bugs you to no end. That guy. God loves him. Even that person who seems to get a kick out of making you look bad. That one too. Even that family member you cannot get along with, no matter what you do, no matter how hard you try. Even that so-called friend who stole from you. You know, those are the kind of people we sometimes wish God would not love. In fact, Martin Luther once said that, he said, if I were God and these vile people were as disobedient as they are now, I would knock the world to pieces. And Martin Luther probably would have done that. But not God. Jesus shows this enormous sweep of God's gracious, forgiving love for the whole world. Just like the children of Israel in the wilderness, we may reject God's love. We may run away from God's love. We may ignore God's love. But there's one thing we know and one thing we can count on. God loves us. And God wants to bring us into the circle of his love. You are a loved child of God. I am a loved child of God. Everyone we meet in this world is a loved child of God. Oh, love, how broad, how deep, how high. And did you notice how God showed that love? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. How can we even fathom that? How can we understand that? Who's had to make such a sacrifice? I guess Abraham came close. I remember when God told Abraham to go to Mount Moriah and take his son Isaac and sacrifice him there. We talked about that a few weeks ago. His one and only son. And Abraham trudges off to the mountain with his son. Where's the sacrifice, Daddy? Isaac asks. The Lord will provide, is all Abraham can say. And when they get to the top of Mount Moriah, Abraham binds his son, and he places him on that altar, and he's just about to sacrifice him, just as the Lord had commanded him to do. But then the angel of the Lord comes, tells Abraham not to touch the boy, and the Lord provided a ram to be sacrificed in the boy's place. God intervened for Isaac. He stopped the sacrifice that would have taken Abraham's only son away. But that's just a little taste, just a small picture of the high and the deep and the broad love of God. In fact, to really see the depth of the love of God, you have to look somewhere else. You have to look to the cross. You have to see that man dying there on that cross, Jesus Christ. That was God's one and only son. And you have to see God turning his back on his son, forsaking his son, so that we might have life. He intervened for Isaac. He did not intervene on behalf of his own son. Oh, that's love. Oh, love, how deep, how broad, how high. For us, by wickedness betrayed, for us in crown of thorns arrayed, he bore the shameful cross and death. For us, he gave his dying breath. Walt Wangerin, some of you know Walt Wangerin, is a wonderful Lutheran author, tells a story about an experience he had with his son when he was small. When Matthew was 7 years old, he became fascinated with comic books, so much so that one day he stole one from the library. When Walt found out
and saw that comic book in Matthew's room, he confronted his son, corrected him, disciplined him, and took him back to the library to return the book. And Matthew got a stern lecture from that librarian and also from his dad. Next summer, however, it happened again. Matthew stole some comic books, this time from a resort gift shop. And again, Walt corrected him and told him how wrong it was to steal. A year later, Matthew again steals some comic books, this time from a drugstore. And Walt decided he had to do something to get his attention and to underscore the, just the seriousness of the problem of stealing. So he took Matthew into his study and says, "Matthew, I have never spanked you before, and I don't want to do it now, but somehow I've got to get through to you to help you understand how wrong it is to steal." So Matthew bent over and got a spanking 5 times. Then Matthew's eyes welled up in tears, as you can imagine, and he looked down on the floor. His father said, "Matthew, I'm going to leave you alone for a little while. You sit here, and I'll be back in a few minutes." And Walt stepped out of the study, and he couldn't help himself. He just broke down, cried like a baby, he said. That father cried and cried. Then he washed his face and he went back into the study, talked to his little one. And from that moment, Matthew never stole again. Years later, as Matthew and his mother were driving home from a shopping trip, they began talking about some of his childhood memories. And he remembered that incident with the comic books. And Matthew said, "Mom, after that, I never stole anything ever again from anybody, and I never will." And his mother asked, "Well, was it because your dad spanked you that day?" Matthew said, "Oh, no. It was because I heard him crying. It wasn't the spanking that turned Matthew around. It was the love of his father that he heard through the door, his tears that he was crying." And the power of our Father's love, that turns us around. And that gives us new life and new hope. It's the Father's love that gives us salvation and gives us eternal life. It's the Father's love that gives us the victory over Satan and sin and the grave. It's a love that is deep and it's broad and it's high. And so we sing our song of praise. All glory to our Lord and God for love so deep, so high, so broad. The Trinity, whom we adore forever and forevermore. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing our hymn of response. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Let the light of your word shine brightly in your church, O Lord, that we may be filled with faith in order to proclaim your love and grace without fear, and that many may come to the brightness of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Good Lord, bestow your grace on all nations of the earth. Bless our country and all who are in authority. We especially lift up to you, to your throne of grace, our North St. Louis County community. Let your glory dwell here and everywhere in our land, that mercy, truth, righteousness, justice, and peace may abound. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you sent your servants, the prophets, and your Son, yet they were rejected, threatened, and even killed. So our prayers ascend for those who serve you here and in other lands who are persecuted for their faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In your compassion, comfort those who are afflicted with illness or injury. We especially remember this day Ron Ramaha, Ola Sugabo, Bonnie Neustadt, Joyce Widener, as she is hospitalized, and Chris Termenstein, who was recently diagnosed with cancer. Use us to provide companionship to the lonely, understanding to the distressed, and hope to those whose faith is weak. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have faithfully nourished Carolyn Rodefeldt with us in the communion of this congregation and have blessed others through her. Bless and protect her as she now departs from us and moves from this area. Preserve her in the confession of your name and in loving service to others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who celebrate special milestones of your grace, especially Leon Steinbrook and his family as they celebrate his 85th birthday this week. We ask that you continue to keep him in your love and in your care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us ever to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Remain standing as we sing our closing hymn together, What Wondrous Love Is This, page 11 in your bulletin.